Sattamang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakha Mokhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanda Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Okay, so today I would like to change new topic. No more talking impermanent suffering non-self. I think you will get bored already. And also because I think most of you get it already. Yeah? So I change to another topic. Okay. Today I'm going to share with you dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada. Every morning we recite, Iti imasmin sati idang hoti, imasupada idang upajati, Imasmin asati idang nahoti Imasa niroda idang nirujati What's the meaning? When this exists, that exists. When this arises, when this arises, that arises. When this ceases, when this ceases, that ceases. That ceases. So this shows that when this arises, that arises. This shows condition arising Dharma. Everything is condition produced, condition arisen phenomena. So when this arises, that arises. When this arises, that arises, it shows the cause and effect. Okay? So the dependent origination or talk about cause and effect. The conditioning that cause conditioned Dharma to arise. And that conditioned Dharma in turn become conditioning for a new conditioned Dharma to arise. Okay? For example, avijja paccaya sankhara, ignorant, depend on ignorance, karmic formation. Okay, so ignorance is conditioning Dharma. Karmic formation is conditioned Dharma. And the conditioned Dharma, karmic formation, now become the conditioning Dharma for consciousness to arise. So, you see, one phenomena is conditioned Dharma as well as conditioning Dharma. This is dependent origination. Okay. Let me explain to you one by one. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Okay. Depend on ignorance karmic formation. What is ignorance? What is ignorance? Avijja. Not knowing. Yeah? Not knowing for noble truth. Avijja means darkness, not knowing. Black, darkness, you cannot see things clearly. So you cannot see things clearly because of mental blindness. Mental blindness. So avijja, not knowing what? Not knowing the noble, four noble truths, which is the essence of the teaching of the Buddha. The core teaching of the Buddha. When Buddha arose in the world, the first talk he shared with five bhikkhus is turning the wheel of the Dhamma related with Four Noble Truths. So as a practitioner, you must fully understand Four Noble Truths. So what is First Noble Truth? Not knowing. Noble Truth is the truth of suffering. And because of this truth of suffering, most people come closer to the teaching of the Buddha. Because the truth of suffering is universal truth. No one can escape from it. But Buddha give you a way to overcome it. Therefore, in the teaching of the Buddha, you see hope. Okay. So what's the truth of suffering? Today I'm not going to deal this topic for long. Because if I deal with this topic for long, it takes me 2 or 3 lectures. I want to finish the whole dependent origination roughly only. No time for me. So first, not knowing the truth of suffering. What is the truth of suffering? Everybody knows. Birth, old age, death, sickness, separate from the beloved one, or associate with hated one, unbeloved one, and cannot get what you want. And finally, the last one, the 5 aggregate of clinging is the noble truth of suffering. In short, 5 aggregate is the noble truth of suffering. This is very important. You have to understand this. If you want to understand this more, you go to my website, salesusila.net. There I have so many talks. Talk about Four Noble Truths, the 5 aggregate of clinging. Okay. So, ignorant, not knowing, for example, depend on ignorant karmic formation. What are the karmic formations? Waji, verbally, karmic formation. Physically, karmic formation. And mentally, karmic formation. So how? Now I'm going to relate. How depend on ignorant karmic formation arise? Some people can recite this dependent origination, but they do not know how they relate to each other. Okay. So how depend on First Noble Truth? Depend on not knowing the truth of suffering, one perform karmic formation. So must understand ignorant first and understand what is karmic formation. Another explanation of karmic formation is punyabi sankara. Punyabi sankara is all the wholesome karma that perform in sensual world, like dana, sila, bhavana, listening to talk, all the wholesome karma we call punyabi sankara. Another one, apunyabi sankara, all the unwholesome things that one perform, like killing, telling lies, sexual misconduct, or breaking all 5 precepts and so on, all these are called apunyabi sankara. And last one, aninjabi sankara. This is regarding the jhana attainment, jhana attainment. Okay, which is purely wholesome. Depend on not knowing the truth of suffering, one perform karmic formation. So if you don't know 5 aggregate of clinging, or clinging to life, let's say, you don't know existence itself is suffering, right? You think existence itself is happiness. Therefore, you want to reserve your existence. You don't want to die. Even you die, you know death is inevitable. But after that, you want to be reborn again and again, again and again. So how to get a new life? How to get new life? You have to perform If you want to get new life in heaven, then you do wholesome karma, right? What wholesome karma? Dana, sila, like service you all do in the morning, listening to talk, helping other people, you know, serving the parents, and so on. So in order to reborn in heaven, so you do karmic formation. You do all good deeds so that you can reborn in heaven or you can reborn in human world. Why you want to take rebirth? Yes, because you are ignorant of the truth of suffering. Because you are ignorant of the suffering of existence, which is the first noble truth. Not knowing the existence itself is suffering. Not knowing the first noble truth. Five aggregate of clinging. Five aggregate is new existence, is existence, right? So not knowing the five aggregate is suffering. Therefore, we inspired to be reborn again and again. Whether in Brahma world, in heaven world, or in human world. Of course, not in four woeful state. Okay? So this is how dependent on not knowing the truth of suffering, then one perform karma. Therefore, dependent on avijja, dependent on ignorant karmic formation. Understand? Okay. This is only first noble truth only. Then okay. How not knowing the second noble truth? What is the second noble truth? The cause, the origin of suffering. What is the origin of suffering? Craving. There are three types of craving. What are the craving? What are the three cravings? First, craving for sensual pleasures. All human beings, we, including devas, all deva beings, human beings who live in this sensual world. We live in sensual world. Pali we call kama vachara. Kama is sensual. So since we live in sensual world, so our aim is to chase after sensual pleasures. This is very normal, not abnormal. Like we, abnormal. Like me, all monastic are abnormal because living in a sensual world, we renounce the sensual pleasures. So this type of people, very few. Right? Well, most people chase after sensual pleasures because we are living in sensual world. It's very common. And like us, go against the current. You all follow the current. Follow the sensual current. We go against the current. Therefore, life for us is not easy. For you, it's more easy. Okay. So, first, craving for sensual pleasures. Second, craving for existence. The third one, craving for non-existence. Okay. So, as a human being, we ignorant, we do not know craving itself. Craving for sensual pleasures is unwholesome. We do not know. And we do not know craving for life is also unwholesome. And because we do not know craving itself is unwholesome, so we perform karma. That karma is enjoy sensual pleasures. You enjoy your visible object, watching TV, watching movie, or watching beautiful man, watching beautiful woman, watching show, and so on. And you enjoy sensual pleasure through your ear, listening to music, listening to sweet talk, or whatever talk you like. And you enjoy different fragrance. You enjoy different tastes every day. Here only two times a day. You go back maybe four times a day. So every time there's craving, there's enjoyment, there's karma formation. You enjoy bodily touch. Even not opposite touch, but soft touch. The moment you have that craving, that attachment to whatever your body feels, that is craving, that's attachment already. That is karmic formation. And also you can think unwholesome thought or wholesome thought. Even wholesome thought, also karmic formation. Why? Because it's accompanied with latent defilement of craving and ignorance. Therefore, it's still considered karmic formation. So not knowing craving is unwholesome. So we let loose our senses and enjoy whatever we want. Therefore, depend on not knowing the second noble truth, which is craving, we perform karmic formation, enjoy all sensual pleasures. Understand? Okay. Then, craving for assistance. We also don't understand ignorance of craving for assistance. It's something unwholesome. It's not say unwholesome. It's a karmic formation. Craving for existence itself is karmic formation. So when we have craving for assistance, in fact, we perform karmic formation already. It's called mental karmic formation. Mentally. Okay, this is not knowing the second noble truth. And for some people, they don't have the belief in the teaching of the Buddha. They thought to be reborn as Brahma. Then it become eternal. Just like Hindu teaching. Hindu teaching, they believe eternal life to reborn in Brahma world, which is a wrong view in the teaching of the Buddha, because there's no permanent world in the world except Nibbana. Okay? When there's no birth, there's no death. Whenever there is birth, there is death. No matter how long lifespan you have. When there's birth, there is death. So Nibbana is no birth. Therefore, no death. Okay? So for those who don't understand this point, so they inspire to become Brahma world, stay very long, long, long life in Brahma world, and think it's eternal. And because of this wrong view, then they crave for this eternal existence. And because craving, not knowing, craving itself is the second noble truth of suffering, so he practiced jhana. When he practiced jhana, he attained jhana, first jhana or fourth jhana or immaterial jhana. Then after that, he reborn in Brahma world. So depend on not knowing, craving for assistance is the origin of suffering. One perform karmic formation of achieving jhana in order to reborn in Brahma world. This is how dependent on ignorant karmic formation. Is it clear? Okay, good. Okay, the third noble truth. What's the third noble truth? Cessation. Not knowing the cessation of suffering, which is what? What's the cessation of suffering? Yes, Nibbana. Okay, then how to achieve Nibbana? Because many people don't understand Nibbana. So if we say Nibbana is still very far away from us, right? So what is the cessation of suffering? Very easy to understand. I give you one key word so that you can remember for the entire life. What is the cause of suffering? Craving. So what's the cessation of suffering? Letting go of that craving. So you can understand already now. So every time when you come to the third noble truth, the cessation of suffering, you must go back to the cause. What is the cause of suffering? Craving is the cause of suffering. So when we destroy, uproot all the craving, then we reach the cessation of suffering, right? So what is the cessation of suffering? Uproot or letting go, or uproot or remove completely the origin of suffering, which is craving. So destroy all craving is the cessation of suffering. And if you understand this point, you also understand the whole practice. What is the whole practice? The whole practice is to let go of craving, right? So how to let go? How to let go of the craving? Craving arises in you. How you let go of it? you must be able to answer. Otherwise, I cannot take it. So craving arises in your mind. How to let go? Yeah, I have been teaching you repeatedly again and again. I thought you understand this, so I changed my topic today. Right? So craving is the mental state of mind, contemplation of mind. So craving arises in you, note, impermanent, vanishing, not myself, conditionally arisen dhamma. So from moment to moment, you cut your craving. Cut it until it becomes very thin. And then when the time ripe, one instant knowledge, you completely destroy the craving. If you don't destroy the craving moment to moment, then it accumulate, become thicker and thicker, thicker and thicker. It becomes so difficult to uproot because the root is so deep rooted already. Like you extract the grass. When the root is very shallow, one pull is out already. But you don't pull it when it is shallow, then it becomes deeper. Right? The root go to very deep. Similarly, whatever craving arises in you, craving for sense, craving for visible objects, sound, body, mind, and so on, if you do not note or do not contemplate impermanent, not myself, suffering, then that root, the root of craving, go 1 inch deeper. Second time it arises, you didn't contemplate, it goes 2 inches deeper. And 100, one day maybe you're 50 craving. Right? So 50 craving you do not note. So one day craving, the root of craving go to 50 inches. Only one day. We have how many days, how many years to live on? This is how we keep on accumulate craving more and more if we do not contemplate impermanent, vanishing, suffering or non-self and conditioned dhamma. If we do not contemplate, craving is murderer. We have 5 ways of contemplation we share yesterday. Do you remember? Yes. So please don't disappoint me, okay? if you cannot answer, then you do not get it. If you can answer, it means that you get it. If you get it, you know the whole practice of the Dhamma already. Right? Dhamma, I can explain it in many ways, but the answer remains the same. I can explain it in, you know, this way, that way. But when we come to answer, it is the same. Okay? So craving, due to ignorance, not knowing craving is the truth of suffering, then one perform karmic formation. Okay. And so the third one, not knowing the cessation, the third noble truth, not knowing the cessation of suffering, which is letting go or uproot, letting go of craving, then one perform karmic formation. As I mentioned just now, some people they think reborn in a Brahma world is eternal. In fact, it's a craving for existence, right? So he doesn't understand. So he practiced jhana in order to reborn in Brahma world. So he doesn't understand the cessation of suffering is to destroy all craving. Craving for sensual pleasures, craving for existence, and craving for non-existence. Because of not knowing, blindness. So he performed karma. He tried jhana very hard and reborn in immaterial world or material world. Okay? And for some people, some belief, they don't understand the cessation of craving. For some religions, they don't understand the cessation of craving is to letting go the craving for existence. So they perform some unwholesome karma, like commit suicide with bomb and hurt other people, kill other people. They thought they can reborn in heaven to enjoy the bliss of heaven. And because of that wrong understanding, they do not know the actual cessation of suffering is to let go all type of craving. So they perform this type of unwholesome karma and finally end up in for four woeful states. This, what we mean, dependent on avijja, not knowing the third noble truth, which is cessation of all craving, then one perform karmic formation. Understand? Okay. Okay, the last one. What's the last one? Not knowing the path. The path leading to the cessation of suffering. So, what is the path leading to the cessation of suffering? Noble Eightfold Path. Huh? Noble Eightfold Path. Traditionally, I go through one time traditionally way of explanation first. Later on, then I will give another way of explanation. So, what is the Noble Eightfold Path? First one, Sammaditti, right view. What is right view? There are many types of right view. Understand the law, cause and effect is also right view. Understand there's no self is also right view. Right? Then understand what is wholesome, what is unwholesome is also right view. So there are two, mundane right view and supramundane right view. Mundane right view, you know what are the wholesome things. Dana, sila, pavana, service and so on. You know all this wholesome, can produce wholesome effect. This is called right view. And if you understand all phenomena are anicca, dukkha, anatta, this is also right view. We call vipassana right view. And finally, you eradicate all wholesome and unwholesome. This is also right view, called supramundane right view, reaching nibbana. It's called supramundane right view. Right view is like the first light in the morning. The first light in the morning, right view compare with the first light in the morning. If in the morning there's no first light, then everybody live in the darkness, right? And what you do, what you act, what you think are in the darkness because there's no light guiding you. Therefore, the first light in the morning who can dispel the darkness is called right view. As a Buddhist practitioner, although we need to cultivate dana, but that dana, when you cultivate dana, must be accompanied with right view. Whatever you do, dana, sila, or whatever you do, must be accompanied with right view. Only then you will not be doing something wrong and yet do not know. So if your view is right, the following seven factor will be right. If your view is wrong, the following seven factor will be wrong. Therefore, please cultivate right view when you become Buddhist. Right view first. Okay, second one. No, first, right view also knowing four noble truth is also called right view. Knowing four noble truth is right view. And the second one, right thought. I'm not going detail. Right thought. The third one, right speech, right action, right livelihood. And the sixth, right effort. Right effort is very important. Many people think that if I can sit very long, I have right effort. There is only one way of right effort. Another way of right effort is whatever unwholesome state that arises in your mind, you have the effort to arouse your mindfulness and wisdom to dispel the unwholesome state that has arisen in your mind. This is very important right effort. Sitting on a cushion for 2 hours is right effort, no doubt. But after getting up from cushion, if there are unwholesome thoughts that arise in your mind, you entertain it, develop it more and more, then you have no right effort. So whatever unwholesome state that arise in you, you must have the effort to arouse your mindfulness and wisdom to note anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanent suffering and non-self. This also important right effort. Understand? Okay. Then the last one, right mindfulness. There are four foundations of mindfulness. You understand, practice this four foundations of mindfulness is called right mindfulness. The last one, right concentration. Now, assess concentration towards jhana concentration is called right concentration. So we practice anapanasati in order to achieve assess concentration and jhana concentration. So we are also practicing right concentration. Okay, so this is one way of explanation of Noble Eightfold Path. In Salayatana Sutta, Majjhima Nikaya, Buddha said, what is Noble Eightfold Path? If you can contemplate an impermanent suffering non-self, this is called right view. If you have the thought of anicca, dukkha, anatta, this is right thought. And if you are mindful of anicca, dukkha, anatta, this is called right mindfulness. And if you have the effort to direct your mind to contemplate impermanent suffering, non-self, this is called right effort. And if you have the concentration, focus your mind on impermanent suffering and non-self of all phenomena, this is called right concentration. And right speech, right action, and right livelihood, we have purified already when we come for retreat. So this is another way of explain Noble Eightfold Path. Therefore, if you contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta, you are practicing Noble Eightfold Path. Be confident. Okay? Okay, the next one. So if a person ignorant, not knowing this is the Noble Eightfold Path, if they do not know, then they do something out of this Noble Eightfold Path. For example, during Buddha's time, Buddha had subdued Mahakasapa. Mahakasapa, they all worship fire. They thought worship fire is the path. It's the path to escape from all suffering. Before Buddha arrives in the world, nobody know the path. Nobody know the correct path to escape from all suffering. All these practitioners, ascetic practitioners, they all want to escape from suffering. But they don't know the path, so they worship fire. And Buddha finally come, using his psychic power to subdue Mahakasapa. Then Mahakasapa, three brothers, all become arahan. Once they become arahan, they give up the wrong practice. Right? And for some people, before Buddha arrives in the world, most Indian people thought self-mortification, torture oneself. Because he said all desire come from body. Right? We want to see, we want to hear, we want to touch, we want to have sex, all because of having the body. Not having the body, how can you enjoy life? How can you enjoy sensual pleasures? So they all have misunderstanding. They have ignorant thought all desire. Desire is the origin of suffering. So they thought all desire come from the body. So they torture the body. We call self-mortification. So they don't want to eat. They torture the body in many ways so that they will not have desire. Even Buddha practiced self-mortification for 6 years before his enlightenment because he did not know the Noble Eightfold Path as well. So, therefore, not understanding, ignorant of the path to the cessation of suffering, then many people perform self-mortification or some people believe only reciting, only mantra. Only recite mantra can lead them to the end of suffering. Or some tradition believe it only chanting. Only chanting can lead them to the end of suffering. But self-mortification or chanting or reciting mantra, you know, and worshipping fire and so on, all these are called karmic formation. Karmic formation. But since they are not the path to the end of suffering, so when one perform all this chanting, self-mortification, mantra and worshipping fire or worshipping Dewa, worshipping Dewa and so on, and this one does not lead to the cessation of suffering, instead they lead to more and more rebirth. They lead to more and more rebirth, and when there is rebirth, when there is birth, there is aging, sickness, death, separation from beloved one, associated with unbeloved one, and cannot get what you want, and again, you attach to the new life again. When you attach to the new life again, there's craving, and craving lead to another existence again and again, again and again. Therefore, these 12 links, dependent origination, revolve constantly. There's no end to it. Simply because of ignorance, not knowing correctly. Right? So ignorance has two meanings. Not knowing correctly is one meaning. The second meaning, knowing wrongly. Worse. Not knowing correctly, never mind. Knowing wrongly, then you follow the wrong path, right? So ignorance means not knowing correctly four noble truth. But knowing wrongly. How knowing wrongly? I have explained to you already. First noble truth, not knowing, clinging to the five aggregate is noble truth of suffering. And when you know wrongly, how it turned out? When you know wrongly, how it turned out? Just turn your mind a little bit, then the answer comes. Let's say clinging to five aggregate is the noble truth of suffering. This is the correct view. Now, we do not know clinging to five aggregate is the truth of suffering. We do not know. Ignorance. So ignorance, not only not knowing, but knowing wrongly. So what's the answer? Craving or clinging to five aggregate. Okay. Let me repeat. Sometimes I thought your mind can turn very fast, but still I see your mind stuck here and there. Okay, stuck here and there because not truly understand the teaching of the Buddha. During Buddha's time, no visual one. During Buddha's time, everybody listened very attentively. And quickly digest, quickly change, turn the mind, follow the Dhamma talk. You saw, Buddha, show me PowerPoint. There's no PowerPoint during Buddha's time. Not tricky at all, simply because you don't understand Dhamma correctly, okay? When I teach Abhidhamma, I only use PowerPoint because it's too complicated. Other times, I feel that using visual is a distraction. It's a distraction of the mind. Because listen to Dhamma, you got to be listened very attentively. This is the advantage of having the ear. The ear is to listen to Dhamma talk, not to listen to music. Okay. So let me try once more and last. The meaning of ignorance, there are two meanings of ignorance. One is not knowing. So first, we do not know. Clinging to five aggregate is the truth of suffering. This one everybody understand. But another meaning of ignorance is knowing wrongly. So regarding the first noble truth, how a person know wrongly? Okay. Anyone want to try answer? Yes. You're not partially correct. Correct. This is the answer I want. So you first not knowing the clinging to five aggregate is the truth of suffering. Knowing wrongly the clinging to five aggregate is the truth of happiness. That's all. Right? You thought clinging to your five aggregate give you satisfaction, give you pleasurable, give you happiness. This is called knowing wrongly. I don't think it's difficult to understand, right? You just need to how to call, your mind just need to twist a little bit. Okay? Got it or not? Okay. Okay, the second one. Not knowing the craving is the origin of suffering. Not knowing craving is the origin of suffering. It's ignorant, the first meaning. What's the second meaning of knowing wrongly? Yeah, same thing. We do not know craving is the origin of suffering. We know wrongly craving is the origin of happiness. Same thing. Think craving gives us pleasant feeling. It's called know wrongly. Okay, the third one. Not knowing cessation of craving is the cessation of all suffering. No. First is not knowing. Second is knowing wrongly craving can give us almost same like second number two, can give us more happiness. Knowing wrongly craving lead to cessation of suffering. Only destroy knowing, uproot knowing lead to cessation of suffering. But knowing wrongly, just opposite. Thought, this craving leads to the end of suffering, which is just opposite. Okay? Okay, the last one. First, not knowing noble eightfold path is the path to the end of suffering. And knowing wrongly, apart from noble eightfold path, other practices, worshipping fire, worshipping Dewa, then chanting and mantra, or you know, self-mortification, or indulgence in sensual pleasures, thought all this practice are the path leading to the cessation of suffering. Okay, understand? It's a little bit twist. How to call? It takes a little bit time to understand. Okay, so you must understand not only not knowing, you also must understand knowing wrongly. If you do not know, you are practicing wrongly, then you cannot change your practice. Because you do not know, you practice wrong, right? So knowing wrongly is also important. And also, so because of not knowing noble is for not knowing the four noble truths and know wrongly the correct way, then one perform different types of karmic formation. When a person perform different type of karmic formation, whether verbally, physically, and mentally, then every karmic formation, whether wholesome or unwholesome, leave behind karmic potency. Leave behind karmic energy. And this karmic energy, when met with favorable conditions, it will sprout. Sprout become new life or new consciousness will arise. Rebirth, we call it rebirth consciousness. Okay. So every karma, whether good or wholesome or unwholesome, leave behind karmic energy. Then a question for you, which I have already given you the answer. Where is this karmic energy stored? Where is stored? I give you answer already, right? Just want to see whether you remember it or you already forgot. Where the karmic energy stored? Okay, the correct answer is when a person dies, we discard the body. Body, four element, you throw on the ground. The body does not belong to me anymore. But the consciousness keep on going. Consciousness, one arise, pass away, one arising, passing away from moment to moment. And this karmic energy just, what to call, latent or hindered along with this consciousness. It cannot be seen by eyes. Even consciousness cannot be seen by eye, right? So this karmic energy go along with this consciousness, but when it bear fruit, that we do not know. Because everything depends on cause and condition. When the condition ripens, it bears fruit. When condition is not ripening, then it's just hidden there. Dormant. Lie dormant there. Okay? So, depend on ignorant karmic formation, depend on karmic formation, consciousness. What is this consciousness? There are two ways to explain this consciousness. One is rebirth consciousness. And so this rebirth consciousness can be arise in sensual world as human being or as deva or as hell being or as hungry ghost or as animal, right? Or it can reborn, this consciousness can be arise in material world, in Brahma world, or can arise in immaterial world, beings who have no body. Okay, now the question comes. Who decides this consciousness to arise in sensual world, in material world, or in immaterial world? Who decides? Yes, karmic formation. Therefore, we say depend on karmic formation, consciousness. So who decides? Depend on karmic formation. What type of karmic you perform? So correspondent with that karmic formation, that rebirth consciousness take in certain plane of existence. Correspond to the karmic formation one perform. Understand? Is it difficult or easy? Easy or difficult? Logical. How about this side? This side logical, this side... Can you understand? Can you understand? Okay. Then, because to digest also not so easy, I should stop here. And hopefully, I can finish tomorrow. But I don't think I can finish tomorrow. First, I thought I want to go very fast. But when I ask, you cannot answer, then I cannot go fast.